until yesterday. I called in a few times, only to find that the call did not land in the voicemail. And that'll happen, I guess. And I don't think I'll ever be able to figure it out why, because it's not my network. And I don't really want to bother anybody with this, but I called in from about 33rd Street and 8th Avenue when I realized that I had unwittingly retraced the first steps that I ever took in New York and saw the first thing that I ever saw her, that I remember seeing her, which was Macy's. And that was the day I walked all the way up to Lincoln Center, where I met this dude named Andrew. He was not really a friend from college, more of an acquaintance, but he was cool about it. He didn't, you know, think I was taking advantage of him by getting free room and board at his place for a few days. I remember I was impressed with him because he knew how to cook chicken. He had real world skills. I don't think I ever cooked so much as a pancake all through college. I mean, I must have, but I had limited skills with that stuff then as now. But he was nice to me, and then I stayed later with another guy named Mike, who I'm still sort of in contact with, if being Facebook friends counts. And but that first day, I walked from Penn Station up to Juilliard, where I met Andrew there. And he said, welcome to New York, which was nice. But I remember feeling like I was climbing a mountain, walking that distance and carrying my heavy bag and not knowing what I was walking into or where I was going. And if I sound like I'm being nostalgic or retrospective about that stage in life at this point, it's because I feel the same way now. I feel like I'm starting over, but I'm going to have to start from some kind of bottom. I just have to figure out what that bottom is. Or let it figure it out for me. I certainly don't get nostalgic for those days or for anything, really. I don't like nostalgia. I think it's a form of bitterness, which implies that only the past is golden and everything around us is shit, and that's just not true. But it's easy to fall into, and nobody's going to question you longing for the good old days, I guess. Or maybe they will. So today I'm at Union Square, where I just zip down here on the express train and call in from the outer payphone. There's a TTY payphone inside the station, but the cord on it is so short that I'd have to bend over to use it. So fortunately there's another one out here and it seems to work, but I guess we'll figure that out if when this call actually arrives in my voicemail. There's so many hazards of any pursuit that relies on a dependable public telephone. Maybe that goes without saying. But the City Bridge phones upstairs really suck. And the only other player in town that I know of is GTEL, but I think they're all limited to the airport, if anywhere. So the number shown on this phone is 212-475-9729. This phone looks like it's been here a long time. There's a musician playing inside, and he's actually not bad. He's playing with a karaoke box, and I actually thought it was three players at first. It was just one. Not sure where I'm headed today, but that's nothing new now, is it? So, probably going to head downtown to the Brooklyn Bridge and just do that. Yesterday, something funny happened. A dude on a bike, I was waiting for the traffic to ease. I was standing at a corner, and a dude on a bike points right at me, and he says, "You're a Republican." And I was like, "What? What?" And I was, you know, did somebody switch my Hawaii hat that I'm wearing with a Make America Great hat or something? I can't imagine anything about my appearance that would make anyone think I'm Republican. So then I thought maybe he said Rupert Pupkin, which makes even less sense because I look about as much like Rupert Pupkin as I am a Republican, because I'm not a Republican, by the way. It was just a strange thing to shout out at somebody, and he said it as an accusation, I think. That was the spirit of it. But I guess if you stand in one place for just a few seconds, somebody will call you a Republican.
This is Broadway and 13th Street, I think, across from the Regal Cinemas. I got the movie pass thing a few weeks ago. I could go see a movie there right now if I felt like it, but it's too beautiful a day out. It's the first really spring-like day that I can reckon this year. It's interesting to watch. I don't usually stick around and watch reactions to anything that I do with these kiosks. And I don't think I've gotten into any real detail about it. I figured a way to blast loud music out of those things and or loud anything, although not every sound timbre really works. So I settled on the Mr. Softy jingle because it's so recognizable and it really does get people's attention. And it gets them asking, what the fuck? And I'm seeing somebody stare at it right now. Somebody stopped in their tracks and has got their face stuck at the kiosk listening to loud, raspy music of the Mr. Softy jingle come out. And this person is transfixed. Oh, wow, I didn't realize that was the homeless dude that was sitting right next to it. There are a lot of homeless people who camp out by these kiosks, and I actually try not to get their attention, because they're the ones who are really paying attention to this stuff, you know? They're the ones who are going to notice that some dude was just here, and then a minute later, loud music starts blasting out of it. Well, it looks like, looks like his instincts kicked in, and he figured out how to turn it off. I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all, but I love the sound. I as much as I loathe the Mr. Softy jingle and how they used to just blast it to the heavens from their trucks, I love hearing it come out of these things. The way it works is the timbre isn't, it's not pure. It gets raspy and interrupted and even more gravelly. Well, she just told me to deposit 25 cents for our next 2 minutes, and I don't have 3 minutes more of anything to say. Looks like my last call did not go through, and I don't think this one will either, but just with the sound of it. Now I'm at 3rd Street, or Great Jones Street, as it's been named. That's new to me. 3rd Street and Broadway. I just passed the site of the old Tower Records. And I never worked there, but I knew some people who did. There was one friend of mine from college who was a composer, and someone else who I knew from the Lincoln Center location. That's where I worked. And I wish I could remember that guy's name, because he was pretty cool. I'd like to go back with him and reminisce, but actually, no, I wouldn't, but I would like to sort of like to know what he's up to. But he had a funny story from when he worked at the 4th Street location. He said one day, this customer comes in and clearly knows a lot about music and was impressed that he, the clerk, knew so much about music as well. And eventually the customer introduced himself. He said, my name is Steve Reich. You know, Steve Reich is one of the most famous living composers, and I think he lives around here. So the clerk thought, oh, this is a big deal. I'm going to introduce him to the manager. So he does that, but he says, sir, I'd like you to meet Philip Glass. And he said it in a full voice, and Steve Reich took it well enough, as I guess, well, what else are you going to do, right? Be offended, stomp out? I'm at Bond and Broadway, and this is a very brisk-smelling payphone, so I'll keep this as brief as I can. This is where, I believe this is where, I attended one open meeting of the Eulenspiegel Society.
back in 92, 91, I don't know. And I just thought it was one of the lamest things I'd ever seen, but it was, there was a woman on a leash talking about how satisfied she was that she chose this lifestyle and how it changed everything. And then somebody started, people were just kind of relaxed. The audience seemed just kind of relaxed, and like we were watching a formal presentation, which we were, but it was all these people trying to be so bizarre and weird to me just looked like they were trying too hard. But the only, at one point though, somebody, one of the women bends over and somebody starts spanking her, just ever gently, ever so gently. Everybody in the audience was just transfixed by this. Everybody just felt completely silent. It was like everybody stopped breathing to watch this. I guess this is what they came for. And I never went to another meeting like that again, and I never engaged in anything approaching that kind of lifestyle, because I just don't. I mean, I understand it. Don't get me wrong. When I say that it was lame, I just thought that the presentations were lame, not that that lifestyle has any. I'm in no position to object to it. I understand it. It's not about pain. It's about control and boundaries and pushing limits and trust. And if you think it's about pain, then you're just wrong. If you think it's some way to get out your aggressions, that's just not how it works. Onward then. This piss smell started to grow on me, actually, but I'm going to let it go. So this appears to be the southernmost payphone in Manhattan from which you can actually make a phone call. This is very frustrating. There's a row of 6 phones here at the Staten Island Ferry Terminal, and there's another row of 3 around the corner. But I just put 50 cents into one phone. I put a dollar in, actually, and nothing happened. But at least it gave me the coins back. But I put 50 cents into the phone next to me, and it connected the call and then disconnected after about a second. And it kept the 50 cents, but what can you say? You can't rely on anything, mate. This place feels like a party. This is the first time I've been into this new Staten Island Ferry Terminal. It's not that new anymore, but I haven't had any reason to come in here for no reason. I haven't been to Staten Island in a long time, and I thought I might go over there today just for the hell of it, but I thought, until now, I thought the southernmost phones on Manhattan were out on South Street, the one that used to be owned by BAS, but on a hunch, I came up here to see if they had any in the terminal, and they do. They have 9, I think, unless there are some others I haven't seen yet. So, and they have an enormous sign and telephones. I mean, it's like they might as well put an exclamation point after it. But it's cool, I think, that when they built this new modern terminal, that they had the planning insight to include public phones. I don't know how many people use them, obviously, but it's surprising when a transit hub like this doesn't have a single one. The Port Authority doesn't have any. On the flip side, until a couple of years ago, it had over 100, I think, which was ludicrous. So it sounds like the pan flute musicians are here, and they are everywhere. Lower Manhattan is an exciting place in some ways. It just feels like there's so much activity down here. The helicopters coming and going at the heliport over on South Street. And I had wanted to check out the East River Park, which I took a brief look at on a map. So I'm going to head back over that way. You know what's funny is in the past, I've been ordered not to take pictures of payphones in places like this. I was at the Queens Mall, the Queens Center Mall, and they have some in the food court. And the security guard told me, no, he can't take pictures of his phones. And the same thing happened at the Time Life building when there used to be a bunch of phones by the Ditto Center, and that was years ago. The minute I would inquire around about that, like, why is it against some rule to take pictures of these stupid things? I mean, who cares? And it's only in certain places, of course, but so. All right, I'm a little winded because I didn't run down here, but it was a bit of a track. There's no obvious way to get past those barricades over there. The number shown on this is 212-785-8468. Oh, wow, it's already a quarter before. Time flies when you sleep till 12. My sleep routines are all over the place. I was up at 8:30 yesterday. Today was about, I said 12, it was probably about 11. And I guess it's lucky for me that we get all the extra daylight now. But I spent all day yesterday thinking it was Friday and woke up today thinking it was going to be Saturday. And I was wrong. It is Friday now. Bonus day, right? Somebody else using this crayfon, so that would seem to be a good clue that it actually works. The other one, I was feeling kind of frustrated, but I don't know how clearly the panpipe music is coming through, but it should be. At this moment, I feel like people are looking at me. I often feel that way when I'm using a payphone, and for that matter, when I use one of those public kiosks. So what are they thinking, and why are they staring at me, and do they think I'm poor, or do they use the term crusty under their breath? I never heard that term as a derogatory, crusty, until the Lincoln IC kiosks started coming around. And that's what people refer to them, people who use them. I've seen that term used. It's not a nice term, but I wonder if I've been called that. There's also another device here. It's an internet browser, web browser, and you get 10 minutes access for free with ads all over it, of course. And I thought about bringing the porn up, because I have a stash of porn on my, sort of hidden away on my website that I keep for just such an occasion, but it's so stupid to do that. I used to think it was funny, but it's just become so predictable. I did plaster porn all over the Lincoln NYC kiosks in February when I discovered there was a way to do that, which was pretty surprising. And I also don't want to put porn up in a place like this. It's very busy here, by the way. Or at least it was until a minute ago. I guess a ferry showed up. But I don't want to put porn up in a place like this because there's kids around, and I'm not one of these who believes in the sanctity of children. But there are plenty of people around who do feel that way, and they wouldn't appreciate or take kindly to somebody like me lobbing that stuff out in front of them. You get 10 minutes of internet browsing, and I didn't do anything to try and test the filters, because what the fuck. And there's a phone there, too, that you're supposed to be able to get deals or something, but I picked that up and didn't hear anything. And you can charge your phone, too, with a couple of outlets. It looks like there's a surveillance camera on top of it, too. I didn't catch that. Maybe you can make video calls. Yeah, I didn't notice the camera. I guess that's for if somebody does access porn, right? They can capture the face of the pornographer. So if I wanted to put porn up here, I'd have to come in with a hoodie or a hood, rather. That wouldn't be conspicuous, would it? Well, this phone has the card on it that the list of free calls, and I called the Get God's Blessings daily prayer once with a friend, and It was actually quite enchanting. I'm not religious, but it was sweet. It really was. I don't think most of these numbers work anymore. need help finding a job, Social Security, EBT, need a credit card, Chase Bank, Wells Fargo, Bank of America. I don't think any of those shortcuts work anymore. And last time, I did try to call the God's daily blessing, this daily prayer thing, one other time, but it was, I think it was like 10 at night, and there was nobody there. Nobody home. Thanks a lot, God. Oh, wow. This has one that I've been looking for. It's, the phone number is printed on the phone, is handwritten. It's fully handwritten, too. I don't think I've seen one of it. This is what I've been looking for. This has been part of what's been charging me to go out hunting lately. That plus the religion, of course. A lot of these phones might have pray written on them, but the panels have been covered up with 1-888 dial for less and collect call placards. So, who's to say? Alrighty. My enthusiasm has abated. Okay, day is done, or whatever you want to call this. This solitary pursuit in which I'm engaged. I think I'm going to get a beer down at the Oyster Bar Saloon, which is a place it took me far too long to discover that place. It's one of the last, like, old New York feeling places around. Jimmy's Corner is another one, but it's gotten so popular that you can't even get in there. And the old town down on by Union Square, that's on the list too. But I'm yet to step into any of those 9th Avenue bars that look so like something out of Scorsese's New York. And I used to work over on 9th Avenue, and I was informed that it was probably not wise to to take a chance, but. How bad can a place be? I mean, I was over on 9th Avenue yesterday, and there were some pretty openly drugged out people stumbling around and throwing things. And it does look like a pretty sketchy area, but what am I afraid of, right? A lot of my time in New York, I was a fraidy cat, though, and I still am some days. One day, I can't stand to cross a bridge into a new neighborhood, and next day I'll just go in there like a conqueror. But I used to just, if I'd never been to a neighborhood before, I'd be nervous or scared. And sometimes that's appropriate, as I've learned, but for the most part, if you're just minding your own business, not inviting trouble, then you won't get into trouble. People I know who've been in fistfights and stuff virtually always admit that they deserved it. But I've only been punched a couple of times at bars, or anywhere for that matter. One time it was a firefighter who I'd been friends with, and I actually thought he was pretty cool. We weren't best friends, but we made good conversation, but he came into the bar once, and who knows how much he'd been drinking before, but he had like 4 bottles of wine at the bar, and then a couple of shots, and who knows what else. So he gets up and comes over to me, and I'm sitting in the corner, so he kind of has me trapped. And I don't remember what we were talking about, but he just started saying that I thought I was better than him, which is not true, but I also recognize that I do sort of give off that air sometimes, especially to people who don't know me very well. People who know me better think know my inferiority complexes and all my second thoughts about doing anything. Indecisiveness and just low self-esteem. But I recognize that my demeanor sometimes would seem to say otherwise. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do about it, but so he starts rambling on about how I think I'm better than him, and he just shoves me into the corner and punches me in the chest. And the bartender can't believe what's happening because he thought we were friends. And the bartender gets up and he just almost grabs him by the neck, grabs him by the back of the shirt, and just throws him out. But the other time was stupid. We were talking about a bar friend, and I were just talking about another mutual bar friend of ours. And I'm pretty good friends with her, not so much with him. And, you know, she's what she is. And she knows it. She's an emotional train wreck, and she's kind of nasty and dirty, foul mouth, potty mouth. I don't know if she still does, but she did all kinds of drugs and just drank herself blind every night. But for some reason, this other guy that I was talking to got the impression she was a sweetheart, just like a girl next door type of prom queen, A-plus student, and I said, no, she's not. And with that, he punched me, and that was harder than I was punched that other time. And it was pretty surprising, and I didn't talk to him at all for a couple of weeks, but after a while, I just said, what the fuck, who cares? And I still talk to him once in a while, but I don't give up much to him.